Well, welcome to another issue of Christian Doctor's Digest. Thanks for taking time to be with me. We've got a great time in store. I want to focus on the theme of encouragement. You know, I need to be encouraged. I'm sure you do as well. I appreciate it when people say, thank you. You touch my life. How are you doing today? Or I've been praying for you. And then I want to be a vehicle of encouragement to encourage others. I'm reminded, actually this morning, I was reading some self-assessments from some of my senior staff, and I thought, you know, our attitudes affect others. Our attitudes affect the people around us. I affect people here in the office every day. I can be joyful or I can be disgruntled, and that is communicated very quickly to other people and sets a tone. And that's true of the people that you work with and your patients. You can give them hope or you cannot give them hope. And oftentimes that depends upon your mood and what's affecting your life. And I want to be more of an encourager. And so this issue, we're going to focus on that with two special guests. Paul Gerritsen, who's one of our previous area directors in North Carolina, has a great book called Notes of Encouragement. We're going to be talking to him about that, specifically targeted towards people in healthcare. And then John Greenhall, who's the National Field Director of the Christian Medical Fellowship in England, is going to be with us. And we're going to hear some of the things they're dealing with and some encouraging words that I trust will bless you. Well, let's get to that first interview. You know, one of the things I really like to do is hire go-getters. I mean, real leaders that are going to make a difference, that are entrepreneurial, creative, and taking it to the next level. And Paul Gerritsen definitely fits that bill as he served as the North Carolina Area Director and Pastor for Triangle Christian Medical and Dental Associations, working with students at Duke and University of North Carolina, working with practitioners in Chapel Hill, Durham, and Raleigh. And then he reached beyond that area and started working in Western North Carolina and Eastern North Carolina and helping chapters there. He has a background in healthcare, actually served as an EMT for about 11 years out west, and then was certified as a mobile intensive care paramedic and became the operations director of a critical care EMS group in the Southwest, serving four states. So a lot of background in healthcare, and then ended up going to seminary and being involved in pastoral care and pastoring churches before he came to us. Paul's a very innovative guy, and during his time in North Carolina, actually wrote two books. We're going to be talking about the first one of those as we join him for this conversation. Paul, I was delighted to get a copy of Notes of Encouragement, Reflections on the Joy and Power of Practicing Distinctly Christian Medicine. If I understand it right, this comes from a blog that you've been writing for how long?
Well, I've been writing roughly 3 years as a weekly email to the local constituency of the Triangle Christian Medical Dental Association here in Central North Carolina. And so we would send out little 500, 600 word notes of encouragement to the folks. And it got to the point where our group is so large, I couldn't possibly keep up with everything. So I decided to distill the first 3 years of writing into the book that it could go into to a broader audience in a more portable format.
Yeah, well, it's an excellent book. And I love how you start the book. You say, what is Christian healthcare? And it's interesting because you talk about the different ways people define it and then how we should define it. Share that with us.
Sure. I became a Christian at the same time I got into emergency medical services, and I discovered that Jesus had a very methodical healthcare ministry, and he used that as the launching point for speaking on spiritual matters. And as he assigned doing the same thing to the disciples all the way down to us, what I realized is that if we don't actually ever expose our patients to Jesus, who is this one If we don't ever say to them what the Lord has done for us or the loving mercy he's had on us, because we certainly don't want to impose him on anyone, we just want to share our story. If we don't do that, then it might be wonderful health care, effective health care, kind and compassionate health care, but it isn't Christian health care. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so I believe that to really call it Christian health care, you need to incorporate exposing Jesus to your patient and letting the Holy Spirit empower your practice as you heal and as you teach with excellence.
Yeah, I like the way you said it. We don't impose, we expose. And there's a huge difference between those two. And of course, those who oppose us doing that always raise the straw man that you're just trying to impose your beliefs on someone else. And that's not what Christ did. That's not what we should be doing. You make that very clear. And I love, Paul, how you say that, you know, being a great doctor, being competent, being compassionate, being a great communicator, all the other lists we can make, those can be marks of a Christian doctor and things that we should do. Our message is not verifiable if we, you know, are a terrible doctor and we're exposing people to the gospel. We lose our credibility. So you make some great points. Let's get practical. How do you say we should be doing this better? I mean, you've observed this with students, residents, docs that you know, and see examples of how it's done well and examples how it's not done too well. So kind of give us some idea of how to do that, especially in this day and time with electronic medical records and everything like we're facing. You know, it seems like we have less time with patients for a good interaction.
Right. Thanks for asking that, because it's a great question, and I'm grateful to all the people who've had the questions and given me the opportunity to think about how do we do this. So let me give an example out of the book. There's a little story I tell called Lemonade Out of Lemons. And if there's a single topic right now that I hear more Christian healthcare practitioners grousing and grumbling and fault-finding about, which we all know we shouldn't do, but we do it, it is the electronic medical records and how it has genuinely interfered with the doctor-patient relationship. It has benefits, but it has robbed a lot of time from the encounter with the patient. And as I watched how Jesus did ministry and taught the disciples to do ministry, I realized, you know, from Romans chapter 8, that God can take terrible situations and use them for good for those that he loves and have called to do good works. And I said, there's got to be a better way to think about electronic medical records. So I sat down one day with one of my great friends and supporters, a family practice doc here in North Carolina, and we talked about using EMR like it was a lemonade stand, and taking the sour of having to sit there and type all this stuff in and using it to their advantage. So what I simply did is showed him that there are passages in the New Testament, passages out of Jeremiah, passages out of Matthew, out of Isaiah, that fit with different fields that you have to populate when you do an electronic medical record. For example, when you're typing in the patient's name, you can talk about how, you know, Ms. Smith, if I don't put your name in there, then nobody knows who the record is for. But I'm glad God has declared he already knows my name. In fact, because he loves me, my name's engraved in the palm of his hand. And then move on. Keep going. You don't have to harp on it, but you can keep going. Or when you're filling out the care plan, one of my favorite ones is to say, you know, I'm writing out a care plan that's temporary, but I'm always encouraged when I'm reminded in Jeremiah how God has a plan for everybody that he loves, and it's a plan for our benefit, to do good for us, and that's always something that uplifts me. And then carry on, press on. You don't have to harp on it. But what you're doing is sowing small seeds and exposing God's love and exposing Jesus as you're using that thing that otherwise is annoyance. And so what you've done is you've turned that thing you call the lemon into a lemonade stand of potentially eternal refreshing.
You mentioned also in that Lemonade Out of Lemons chapter about, you know, remarking about feeling burdened. And people feel burdened, patients with their diseases, family members who are caregivers. How can you turn that into an opportunity when they're giving their chief complaint or, you know, talking about their symptoms?
Sure. Well, that's a great one. You know, in Matthew 11, as most of our listeners probably know, that's where Jesus says, come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden, or you have a burden, depending on your translation, and I will rest you and I'll teach your souls. And so it's an opportunity when you're putting in, okay, Mr. Tompkins, what brought you in here today? What's bothering you? What do you want to address today? That's a great opportunity as you're typing that into the electronic medical record to say something like, you know, we all have these burdens and these things that are wearing us down, and Jesus wants us. He's used it on me, and he'd like to use it for you. He wants us to rest with him and learn how to deal with those things. And so I hope that you get a chance to ask the Lord to help you with your medical condition.
Paul, you've got a great section that I noted with spiritual histories, and really coned down on this page, which is worth the whole price of the book, out of Harold Koenig's book about We Care for the Whole Patient, a statement that you actually encourage healthcare professionals to make to their patients when they're coming in about why you do a spiritual assessment and the value of it. Why don't you share a little bit about that? Because I thought it was superb.
Oh, well, thank you. That's kind of you to say. I do want to give Dr. Koenig credit. He was the first one I'd seen who'd written out some of the justifications in detail about why we should be taking a spiritual history, the scientific reasons, the health reasons, all the different reasons. What I heard over and over again in encountering practitioners was a sense of, I just don't know how to bring it up. And so again, turning lemons into lemonade, what we've done is we've adapted Dr. Koenig's checklist of why we care for the whole patient to something that can be attached to the clipboard for the first-time encounter patient in processing paperwork. You know, we all have the HIPAA forms and the medical history forms. And just attach this form to the same clipboard when a new patient comes in. And it explains why it's so important and beneficial to take a spiritual history. What that does then is then when the patient encounters the practitioner and the practitioner brings up the subject of, do you have a support network or a faith community? Do you have a spiritual leader that you'd like us to reach out to and keep informed? Questions like that. It's not a surprise. The patient's not startled. In fact, the research shows most of them would actually welcome that kind of question and interest in their spiritual well-being. And this little checklist that goes on the in-processing clipboard breaks that ice and opens that door for a deeper dialogue on spiritual matters.
Yeah, I thought it was very well done. I've heard of docs, in fact, Gene Rudd, who's here when he was in practice, had on his intake form, your doctor's happy to pray with you. Would you like that? And so it's not a surprise when you bring it up. And if the person says they didn't, which rarely happens, you're aware of it before you introduce that subject. So a lot of those things that we can actually program better in our practices to ensure that we keep the gospel front and center as we expose people to Christ. You know, Paul, we've barely touched on all the stuff in this book. There are so many short, succinct chapters that you know, 600 words, as you said, that touch on parts of what we do every day and how to do it better and more Christ-like. And I just want to say a big thank you for this work of love and ministry that you've put out that now all's in one place and available. It's just marvelous what you've done. So thank you for your efforts and for helping us be better at Christian healthcare.
Well, thank you, David. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it, and I just hope that God is glorified by the practitioners using their privileged position to expose Jesus to their patients.
God bless.
God bless you, too.
You know, if you'd like to get a copy of the book, it's available here at CMDA. Just give us a call at 888-230-2637. Or you can go online at cmda.org, go to our resource section and get a copy. The thing I like about this is this can almost serve as a little pep pill every morning or in the evening, just to grab it, read one of these sections. But it just kind of primes your mind for ministry and your spirit for ministry and gives you some new insights that'll help you to better minister in Christ's name. So I encourage you to get a copy of Notes of Encouragement today. And then Paul's other book is called Your Privileged Position, Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus as a Christian in Healthcare. and it's a journey through the Gospel of Mark. It makes a great Bible study if you're working with students or just on your own, and that's available here as well. I encourage you to get one of these today. Welcome to this edition of the TaxWise Moment, and it's great to have Jeff Anderson, our CMDA Director of Gift Planning, back here in the studio with me. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you, Dave. It's always a great pleasure to be with you.
You know, Jeff, we've spoken about the importance of good stewardship, about having a last will and testament or irrevocable living trust to legally carry out our intentions to provide a good plan for our family, and if God leads, our church and ministries can be beneficiaries of our estate plan as well. But is there something else that our members ought to consider along with those legal documents?
Dave, I strongly suggest that we each need to write and leave behind a letter or some form of a document that contains clear instructions to assist our executor or trustee. I've seen estates that had to be reopened where the executor didn't know the existence or the whereabouts of a forgotten stock certificate, for example, and it was found only after the estate was closed. So this letter, often called a letter of instruction, first of all, Dave, it's not a legal document. It doesn't have to be notarized, and it does not take the place of our last will and testament irrevocable living trust. Rather, it is merely a simple but written way to offer guidance to our executor or trustee to detail where our property is located. It answers these questions: which bank or credit union has my accounts? Which brokerage holds my IRA, for example? What credit cards, debts, or loans do I have? Where's my will located? You'll be providing very helpful consideration to carry out your final wishes, and in short, you'll avoid wasteful delays, fees, and unnecessary costs for your estate.
One of the concerns I have is, how do you make sure you don't forget something? I'm just going through this with my mom, and we can't find a stock certificate that she's had from my grandfather. It's important that this is complete, and especially all those passwords and everything for accounts and IDs that you use. Why don't you talk about that?
Sure. First of all, let's look at the online digital era that we find ourselves in the 21st century. We ought to include a list of passwords, usernames, PIN numbers for our online accounts, as well as any social media accounts. But in addition to the online era, we also still have birth certificates, marriage certificates, tax returns. We need to know where those are. We need to pass along where we have a safety deposit box, where the key might be to the safety deposit box, what's in the box even. We also need to include contact information for who's been our attorney, our accountant, our insurance agent, other financial advisors. So when you compose such a writing, you may give it to your executor or be crystal clear with him or her where you have it stored, where he or she can have easy access to this roadmap, if you will. And a safety deposit box is not a good place to keep that letter of instruction or document due to the delays in accessing that box after your death.
You're talking about a safety deposit box in a bank.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's fine to have it in a fireproof safety deposit type thing at home, safety box at home.
Yes, that would be a good place to store that document.
So I'm still struggling with how I make sure I don't forget something like my mom did. Is there some sort of aid that can help us to make sure we do this completely?
There is, Dave. We've noticed a need among our members at CMDA for such a document. So therefore, we offer a free document as a member benefit. It's called My Financial Record. And if you're not a letter writer, you have subpar handwriting like mine, or you feel you probably would omit something essential, as you referred to, this My Financial Record document should prove a simple but very helpful way to go. We'd be happy to email or mail the My Financial Record document for our members to complete. And the bottom line, Dave, this service should empower a future executor or trustee to have that clear roadmap of directions to locate and then properly distribute your treasure and perpetuate your legacy.
Thanks, Jeff. This is great news. I'm going to take mine home tonight. If people want to get theirs, how do they go about it?
Please just give us a call, 888-230-2637. Email me, jeff.anderson@cmda.org, or visit our website at cmdagift.org. And of course, contact us when we may help in any way for your current stewardship or estate planning.
Jeff, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Dave.
You know, we do a podcast for students called The Pulse, and occasionally we grab an interview from that to share with you, or they grab an interview from Christian Doctors Digest to send out as a podcast that they think would be helpful to students. And we're going to listen to one of those interviews that they did today. This is Vice President Bill Reichart, head of Campus and Community Ministries, talking to Dr. John Greenall, who's the National Field Director for Christian Medical Fellowship. I think you're going to enjoy what they talk about.
I have a very special guest here in studio, John Greenall, who is with the Christian Medical Fellowship in the UK. He's the National Field Director. And you might say, well, John, you're all the way from the UK and you're here in studio. You joined us this last week at the Field Staff Conference, didn't you?
I have, Bill. Yeah. Hi. Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here. And we've had a great week with some of your staff and field team. Just getting to hear about all that you do with students on campuses.
Yeah, we were joking a little earlier that it seems like you brought the London weather with you, huh?
Absolutely, yeah. I was just the last few months ago when I was here, I think I bought a tornado, and this time I bought the cold weather, so I'm feeling very at home right now.
Great. Well, I also failed to mention you're married to Heidi, you have three kids.
That's right.
You obviously have a very busy life, a very fulfilling life, and I know part of that is being part of CMF.
That's right.
I wanted to before we get into a little bit more about CMF and some of the challenges, just I want to hear your story a little bit, because it's kind of fun to hear how you got connected. So tell us a little bit of how did you get connected with CMF? I should have also mentioned you're a pediatrician, so you are a doctor.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. So I still practice, you know, as a pediatrician alongside my role with CMF. But yeah, I was at what we call med school, and we were undergraduate in med school in the UK. I was doing a 7-year program with some psychology undergrad, and I was very involved in the campus ministry. I was president of our what we call Christian Union, and we were doing evangelism on campus and had a good set of friends. And one day in my third year, I was sitting at a computer, minding my own business, you know, just doing some work on my psychology undergrad. And one of my friends said, would you consider being the CMF rep for this campus, for this university? And without even looking up, I just said, yeah, okay, I'll do that. And little did I realize what I'd let myself in for. It was only afterwards that I said, well, what's this all about? What is CMF? And so that's how I got involved, and I think God had his hand on that, because as I sort of began to understand CMF more, I recognized that this is a movement which is a sister movement to CMDA here in the US. We have at the moment 42 campuses. CMF is present on all but one of those. And our passion really, as I was learning as a student, was to integrate and connect faith and medicine. How am I going to prepare for a lifetime of medicine, starting, you know, as a student? And that was really where I caught the passion as a student for that ministry.
That's fantastic. And that passion has carried you beyond being a student into the practice of medicine. And now you have a chance to impact by serving other students and attendings as well throughout the UK.
Sure.
Fantastic. Well, I know there's a lot of exciting things happening with CMF, but I also know you face a lot of challenges. What are some of the challenges you're seeing on the landscape, the medical landscape in the UK these days?
Well, I think there's a lot of uncertainty. Many of you will be aware that we have a national health service system, which is a little different from across the pond here. And we're seeing a lot of pressure and a lot of issues of burnout and overwork and losing a lot of healthcare professionals to stress. Many of our general practitioners, that's your family medicine doctors, are quitting or going part-time, and it's creating huge pressure on the service. Now, of course, as a student, you're not feeling that, but I tell you what, it's so common in my conversation. Students are saying to me, is medicine really a career that I want to go into anymore. You know, there's doom and gloom. Everyone's negative. They're saying we're not paid as much as we used to be. We're not respected. We're seen as, we've got consumers who are trying to consume a product from us as doctors. We're not treated as professionals anymore. So I'm hearing a lot of this. So this is a real challenge. And actually, as we come to scripture, as we think about being Christian medics, I think we have a huge amount to say. God has a huge amount to say about to us as students about how we prepare for life in a very different world, in a world where it may be much more pressured and stressful, but which God is still nonetheless calling Christians into. So I think that's the first thing that comes to mind. And I think secondly, the area of sexuality. I mean, not a week goes by when I may get an email from a member. So for example, a third year student emails me and says, look, I've got some best friends. They're female, they're same sex attracted, they're in a relationship, and they're getting married. And how can I say to them that what they're doing is wrong? How can I say that the Bible has good news for them when the Bible says that homosexuality and cohabitation and sex outside of marriage is wrong? And therefore, I resign my membership of CMF because I cannot accept that the Bible might say this. So we are constantly dealing with these issues, the issues of sexuality, of gender. Obviously, they're coming up on campuses in the UK just as much, I'm sure, as they are over here.
Those are big challenges and very challenging questions. How do you all speak into those? How are you able to bring a biblical, a Christian worldwide view, a voice of faith into those issues?
The word you just used there, Christian worldview, is absolutely key. And that's where we really start, because we are in a culture now where many of our Christian students are coming and haven't got what I call a fully developed Christian worldview. And my passion is to see at medical school students gaining a fully orbed Christian worldview, an understanding with the lenses of Scripture that help us to see, and we all see through different lenses, and to see through the lens of Scripture that actually God's pattern for creation is good news. And often what I would say, what I would tend to do is try and start there, not to start so much with the problem and say, well, actually, you know, this sounds like bad news, because all we're saying is don't do this, don't do that, this is wrong, this is bad. But actually start with the good news and say, well, let's look at what God has to say about creation, how he's created us good, how his world is wonderful. And then look at fall and how actually there's a distortion, we're flawed masterpieces. And then look at redemption, how in Christ everything is redeemed and put back together. But ultimately we have a future hope that everything will be restored. Now that framework, paradigm of creation, fall, redemption and future hope is the way I try and fit everything together. And to say that actually God's pattern for sexuality is good news. I mean, it's wonderful news. He's created it. And I think that as Christian medical and healthcare students, we are in the ideal place for this. We have an understanding of the human body. We have an understanding of the human mind. And I would argue that we need an increased understanding of the human heart. What is it that drives the desires and passions within us, within those of our friends around us? We need more than anybody else, I think, an understanding of that, which is bathed in Scripture, which can bring the two together, faith and health, faith and the mind, bring it all together and actually have a good understanding of these topics. And that's my passion. That's what I see our students in the UK increasingly grasp. And as you have that worldview, whatever issue comes up, whether it's sexuality, whichever issue is round the corner, we can actually have confidence that God is good, that his word is true, and that the message that we carry, Jesus Christ himself, is genuinely good news for a world which is crumbling around us. And that's what carries me through. That's the message that I want to make sure is proclaimed widely by our students in their campuses.
I think that's so key, John. I think what you said is the positive perspective and really outlining that God's heart is for our good. He wants to protect us. He wants to provide for us. It's not about him just being a killjoy and no.
That's right.
It's wanting to provide the best. And that's a heart of a loving and caring and
that's
gracious
right.
God.
And as I have children now, and I'm a pediatrician, but I see, you know, you need those fences. And I see the fence outside my house and it fences our garden. We have front gardens in the UK, by the way.
Yes.
And they're very nice. And this fence, you know, protects my boys. And if that fence wasn't there, they're going to run out into the road.
Exactly.
And they see the fence answers are negative, and they sometimes they kick and they scream, and they say, "Daddy, I want to go out on the road," but I point out to them the cars that are coming, and in God's grace, He puts those fences up for our benefit. And if we focus on the fences, on the fact that, oh, it's a negative, and God's stopping me going outside of the garden, we miss the point that He is a loving Father, that He is a gracious, loving Father who has the best for us. And therefore, that means sometimes what He says can seem hurtful, it can seem restrictive, but actually His restrictions are for our freedom, so that we can be all that we were made to be. And that the old definition of, the true definition of freedom in being all that we're created to be, is far more liberating than the new definition of freedom, which is just do whatever you want, which of course, as we see in healthcare particularly, has incredibly harmful consequences to marriages, to society as a whole, to our human bodies, our minds. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think the Christian Medical Fellowship, CMDA, it's the most exciting place to be engaging with these cultural issues. It's one of the most dangerous, risky places. But if I would say to our students and to your students as you're listening, be encouraged. This is the most exciting place to be. Grasp hold of the opportunities and don't let them go, because this is where God has placed you to make a difference.
Oh. Well said. I wanted to go back to something also you said. We've been talking about the issues of sexuality, but you also talked about the burnout issues, the busyness. And God had showed you something even in medical school that really kind of helped shape your thinking and understanding of rest. You want to speak into that a little bit, John?
Yeah, I mean, and I wish I'd learned this lesson earlier of rest, because I think, like most of your listeners, you know, medical students, we're high achievers. We're always doing things. Perhaps we're into sports and music, top of the class efforts, you know, working night and day to be the best that you can be. And med school certainly brings that out. You've got the competition element. You've got a lot of work that you're given, often more so than in other disciplines. And the temptation when the work comes thick and fast is to work night and day. Is to say, well, I need to, and even to spiritualize it and say, well, to reach my God-given potential, I need to work night and day. Mm. And I think on top of that, Christian students can feel the pressure because they've got church, and we're saying to them, well, get involved in a church. Number one, be in a local church where you're hearing the word of God taught. That's most important. CMF doesn't replace that. Mm. And we're saying get involved in evangelism and campus ministry. Start to think about the future. Start to think about the ethics and the foundations that you need for your faith to last for a lifetime. And it can all seem really overwhelming. And I got into a pattern early on where I was working night and day and not resting. But I really was challenged by God. He said to me, "Will you take my Sabbath principles seriously? Will you trust me with your career? Will you trust me with all these aspects of your life, even the Christian, seemingly Christian ones? And have that rest." And actually, as I took him at his word, as I started that pattern of having a rest day when all my friends were working hard on a Sunday for the exams the following week, I have a day off and just trust that actually God is in control, and that if I obey his instruction manual, that actually it's the best for me. I started to do far better. And I'm not saying this is an easy equation, that we will take a day off and you'll do better. But actually, as we're obedient to God, that can be risky. Mm-hmm. It can go against the flow. Mm-hmm. But I think the great challenge is, just like with the issues of sexuality and worldview, is will we take God at his word? Will we trust him mm-hmm. above what seem to be our intuitions or what everyone else around us is telling us, and trust that his ways are right and true and actually just the best way for us to flourish in all areas of life?
Yes, it is risky, but it also, I think, it forces us to address what could be those possible idols in our life and heart too.
Absolutely, yeah. And for me, the idols were seemingly good things. They were mm-hmm. they were achievement. They were,
of course.
And for me, that has been the biggest. Just the last few years, just understanding my drivenness, my idol, and bringing that through even into ministry, the idol of success, mm-hmm. And of wanting to be noticed, and of wanting to get to the top, and of achieving this dream, if you like, of being somebody, even in the Christian world. And God has had to deal with my heart, and he still is, on those issues of the root of it, pride, which want to elevate myself above Jesus Christ. And I think we are at particular risk of that in the medical field, being mm-hmm. driven, being high achievers, relying on ourselves, relying on our own intellect and our own gifts to get us where we want to be. That's the challenge for medical students today, is mm-hmm. will you trust in God above all and submit your life to him?
That's a good word. John, as we bring our conversation to a close, just wanted to give you an opportunity as you are speaking to an audience of students. We're you know, this is the Student Pulse podcast. We have a lot of students listening in. What would you say, especially with fresh eyes, you know, from the UK, looking into our situations here in the US, which are not much different, really, than what you all are facing, certainly. But what would you say in terms of encouragement or an admonishment to us, or exhortation, I should say, of what? How can students? How can they better integrate their faith into medicine? What are some things that they should be encouraged to look at and do? And also, how can they, you know, make an impact for Christ on their campus? Because, as I've said on some previous podcasts, you know, the students are God's placed them there for a reason. It is no accident that they're at the school, and God wants to use them in a very strategic way for the kingdom of God. But again, with busyness and all the other things, it usually covers up any opportunity or perceived opportunity or time or energy that they can often do to make that impact. So what would you say to students who they're Christians, they want to live out their faith? How can they better integrate faith into the practice of medicine? How can they make an impact for Christ where God's placed them?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's a great question. And I think the first thing I would say is walk closely with God. And I think, as I've alluded to already, that can be tough when the pressures are on and when, you know, you're involved in so many things and you're needing to spend time with your, I guess, Christian friends and non-Christian friends and creating opportunities for the gospel and working hard. And these things all mean that many Christian students can be busier, you know, and more stressed, in fact, than their secular counterparts. So I would say prioritize in your day time with God. I mean, I think most of all, we are here to grow to be more like Jesus Christ. You know, you're not at medical school first and foremost to, you know, to be a great doctor. You're not at medical school first and foremost to learn, you know, this about, you know, anatomy or physiology. Actually, first and foremost, God's purpose for your life is to make you more like Jesus Christ. And that means, as in any relationship, as I find with my wife when I don't spend enough time with her, it means time, and it means prioritizing that time. So I would encourage you to get those patterns in motion right from the beginning. They won't suddenly happen when you graduate. They won't suddenly happen when you're even busier intern and resident and attending. It will become more challenging. And we hate to hear that as students, but it will. So get those patterns in your life. Lay them down. And I think that would be my first thing. Secondly, get into Christian fellowship. Again, make that a pattern of your life. That means getting involved in a church and making that a real priority. And of course, in CMF and UNCMDA, we're here for fellowship because we recognize that our work and on calls and work takes us away often from regular church meetings. So get into fellowship, connect with others in the faith, and do so early. Make a regular habit of that as well. And I think thirdly, I would say, start to think about the big issues of that you may not be facing now in your first, second, third year, but think about the ethical issues. Start to think about how you're going to approach them. Make relationships with attendings and look at them, you know, and look at their example and see, be inspired by the fact that they're still holding fast to faith, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years later. Ask them questions, ask them to speak in your groups, but grapple with these issues. I had a friend who was with me on my student council when I was a first, second, third year. We did a lot of evangelism together. He was passionate about the gospel. But what he didn't do was, I think, put down deep roots, both in fellowship, but also in thinking about the issues that he would face in the future. 10 years later on, I'm sad to say that he has fallen away from the faith because of these challenges around, particularly around sexuality and some ethical challenges as well. And because he hadn't thought about those things earlier on, because he hadn't, you know, read about them, talked about them, got into fellowship and really been open about his doubts and concerns right from the beginning, it meant that his foundations weren't there when the attacks really came. So get those foundations in place. And that is what CMF is for. That is what CMDA is for, uniquely to help you to do that. So take advantage of what CMDA has. So this is a shameless plug. You haven't asked me to do this. I won't ask for money.
Okay.
But get involved. listen to these podcasts, read the digests, mm-hmm. And get into fellowship with your groups, because it will enable you to stand in the long run with mm-hmm. firm foundations for a lifetime. This is a marathon, mm-hmm. not a sprint, for exactly. a lifetime of faith. And I think that probably leads me to conclude that actually God has a unique purpose for you, mm. that God has prepared good works in advance for you to do, your personality, your unique gifts. God is going to use those. Do what you enjoy. You know, as you start to go out on placements, begin to think, where is it that I can glorify God? And and it's okay to enjoy ourselves. You know, as Christians, we don't glorify God when we're not enjoying ourselves. Actually, that we find our joy in Him and how we see our personalities and gifts play out. Find your joy and do it all to the glory of God, because mm. He has a purpose for you.
Well said. Thank you so much for being with us this past week at the Field Staff and the Field Staff Conference, as well as in studio. We've been talking with Dr. John Greenall, who is the National Field Director of CMF Christian Fellowship, Christian Medical Fellowship. And thank you so much for, again, spending some time in all that you're doing in the UK, working with students, investing and making a difference for the Lord.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been great.
Don't you wish you had that accent? That's a great accent, isn't it? And I laugh when I sometimes hear speakers from the UK. I say, you got such an advantage. I mean, you know, the accent grabs you and pushes home the message. And he definitely did that today with a great message. You know, he mentioned the book, The Call, from Moss Guinness. And that's a classic. If you haven't read The Call, you need to get a copy of it. And if you got the app, just press the button there and you can order it online. Or you can give us a call at 888-230-2637 or go online at cmda.org. It's available through all those portals, and I think The Call will really impact your life. Did you know that CMDA is doing 41 conferences and tours each year? It's hard to believe, isn't it? I don't get to all of them. I know you don't as well. But we just want to have a smorgasbord there to help meet our members' needs, to inspire and equip and offer opportunities for network and fellowship. Let me mention a few that are coming up. October 12th through the 14th, we have our Marriage Enrichment Weekend. It's going to be held here in Bristol. I can guarantee you it's a beautiful time of year. The leaves are changing. We have great hiking, walking trails, even here on CMDA's property. It'd be great to get outside and enjoy some time with your spouse. You know, this is for enrichment, to make your marriage better. And you can never make it good enough. It can always get better. And you'll enjoy this weekend with a dozen other couples. I encourage you to come. If you want to find out more information or register, just go to cmda.org/marriage. And then March 28th through the 30th is our second Remedy Medical Missions Conference. It's going to be held at First Baptist Orlando. Registration's coming soon. You can just check online and have an opportunity to come. This is a more intimate mission conference. We're praying that it'll grow like the one in Louisville did, but we know most people come within a six-hour drive of Louisville. Now this is really targeted towards the Southeast United States. But people that came last year said it was so good. They loved it so much. And one of the things they loved was, well, they got to know more people deeper, and they got to talk longer with exhibitors and all the rest of it. And we're expecting 300-400 people there. And I encourage you to come and bring a student or resident or your own children and expose them to missions. There'll be tremendous speakers and great workshops. I look forward to seeing you there. And then May 2nd through the 5th is the 2019 CMDA National Convention at Ridgecrest, North Carolina. This is going to be a flag-waving affair. This will be my last national convention as the CMDA CEO, and we'll be welcoming the new one. So it's kind of a farewell and a hello. We'll be talking about God's faithfulness in the past and focusing on what He has in the future. It's going to be a big group of people. I encourage you to come. You'll see folks you haven't seen in a long time at this one. And you'll have a great time of fellowship, inspiration, encouragement. We've got great speakers coming back. Stan Key, who's a tremendous Bible teacher, will be with us again. We're going to have John Sohnstreet from the Colson Center and others. It's just going to be a marvelous time, and I encourage you to come. Nancy Piercy is going to be here as well. If you haven't read Nancy Piercy's apologetic books, you missed a treat, and hearing her in person will even be a bigger treat. So join us. Go to cmda.org. You can register there, and I hope to see you. We'll have a wonderful time. You know, joy is different than happiness. Happiness is based on external circumstances, and joy comes from inside. It's because of our relationship with God and His presence in our lives. You know, as I did relief work in areas that were in terrible need with starvation, disease, war, and yet each place, I always found a remnant of people that they had the joy of Jesus Christ in their heart. He was on their face. And despite the circumstances, they had a trust in God that transformed their lives and transformed the lives of others. And so I want you to, you know, if you're losing your joy, if you don't have what you know you need to have, and that's affecting you and your staff and your family, dig deeper in your relationship with Christ. Go away for a retreat. Dig deeper into your Bible study and your prayer life. Share with someone else. Get some Christian counseling if you need it. But get back to the basis of where your joy comes from. I know medicine's not easy these days. God didn't promise us an easy life if we followed Him, but He promised His presence in our lives. It's when we walk further away from Him that we lose our joy. And when we need to regain it, it's getting back in close contact with Him and spending more time with Him and the spiritual disciplines and in fellowship with others. And memorizing Scripture and claiming His promises can change your life. I know it has mine. That's my prescription for you as we end this Christian Doctor's Digest, talking about encouragement. To be an encouragement to others, you have to be encouraged yourself. And God will do that for you. Well, till we get a chance to get together again, may God bless you richly. And if there's anything we can do for you here at CMDA, don't hesitate to contact us. We're all here to serve you.
Christian Doctor's Digest is a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on Christian Doctor's Digest are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on Christian Doctor's Digest reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.